Hey everybody, welcome into another episode of Make Comics, the podcast where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. And today joining me and Andy, we have two guests. First up, we've got a writer currently writing Archer and Armstrong, Magnus, Conan the Avenger, and the upcoming creator-owned title, The Resurrectionist. It's Fred Van Lente. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Fred. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And with Fred, we also have the current writer of Batman Superman, Action Comics, Turok, Marvel Storm, and Code Monkey Saves World is not current, but one that I really very much enjoyed. It's Greg Pak.
Hey, thanks a ton.
Thanks for coming on, Greg.
I appreciate it.
Relevant to this conversation, these guys also co-wrote The Incredible Hercules for Marvel. And today, we're going to talk about, amongst other aspects of making comics, their new book, Make Comics Like the Pros.
So first of all, I've read the book, and it's really good. So
thanks.
So what's nice about that is that Fred said, hey, you have a podcast with the same name as the book that Greg and I wrote, so we should be on it. And I said, right. And then I got the book and I read it and I was relieved that that it's good and I can recommend it. So that worked out very nicely. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on to the show. And, you know, this is not the longest podcast in the world, so I do kind of want to hop into talking about the book itself. But I think it's worth you're talking about, as Joey mentioned, you guys worked on the Incredible Hercules saga, but let's talk a little bit about how you guys started working together and how or when or why you decided to create such a phenomenal book.
Well, we were we met for the first time years ago when I was writing World War Hulk for Marvel. It was Marvel's big summer event in 2007, and coming out of World War Hulk, I'd been talking to the editors about a number of different ideas for books that could come out of that, and I just had a really full plate, and they suggested that I team up with somebody to pitch one of the ideas. And I'd never worked with a co-writer before in comics, and so I was a little hesitant, to be honest. But editor Nate Cosby put me in touch with Fred. I think we met over where did we meet, Fred? Was that at
the Tex-Mex place?
The Tex-Mex place, exactly.
Lobos.
Yes, exactly. And we really hit it off, and it all came together. So we started, we worked up a big pitch for a story called The Renegades. It was going to be an ongoing series featuring the heroes who were crazy enough to side with the Hulk during World War Hulk. And that did not get approved because there were too many team books at the time. But a few months later, we got a call, and the editors asked us if we'd be willing to do or interested in doing a buddy book, basically, with two of the characters from the Renegades, Herc, who is Hercules, and it's actually Hercules, the Greek god Hercules, who is running around in the Marvel universe, and Amadeus Cho, the world's most incorrigible and possibly dangerous teenage super genius. and we said yes, and it was a blast. And we wrote that thing for what, five years?
Yeah, in one form or another. I think it finally ended in 2011.
Yeah, I think they thought it was going to last for maybe five issues, and it ended up stretching out for about 5 years. It was tremendous. So we, you know, really bonded. We became, you know, we were writing a buddy book and we became buddies, and it was awesome. And then years later, we were doing an event, at the comic book,
Legal Defense Fund,
about, comics collaboration. It was just a little workshop seminar thing. And, Patrick Barb, attended that, and he thought that we talk good and think smart, and so he pitched the idea of us doing a book about collaboration in comics, and a couple of years later, here we are.
Right on. All right. Well, that's the origin story of the book. So let's talk about this. So I've read, as the guy that runs classes, I kind of have to read a whole bunch of books and all this stuff on how to make comics. And almost everything I read book-wise is valuable to one degree or another. But one of the things that I really liked about this book, the two things I really liked about this book that I have not seen done certainly as well, although other books have covered these topics to one degree or another, the two things were, as you mentioned, collaboration. And then the fact that you guys with Colleen Coover, who's a phenomenal artist, pretty much make a comic throughout the book. So as you're talking about a topic, you're also kind of showing the process as the three of you create a book. How did you decide on collaboration? Because it's pretty brilliant for one thing, and it's also one of those things that a lot of people should talk about but don't.
Well, the original, I can't remember, the CBLDF approached me to do the seminar, and for some reason I just gravitated to that idea and thought it may have just been laziness on my part in wanting a second person to come in and help keep the seminar. Let's see what Craig's doing. He likes edumacation. So Patrick at Watson Guptill initially pitched the idea of a collaborative book. So that was sort of going to be the whole book. But as often happens with, as Andy, you know, as an editor, a lot of times you bring the initial pitch in and the editorial meeting gets a hold of it, the acquisitions people get a hold of it, and it sort of mutates into something that more suits their needs. And so they ended up wanting a more general book. So though the book is about making comics from idea to marketing and all the steps in between, it did in fact start out as a book uniquely about collaboration. So definitely it carried that character with it throughout the process.
Yeah, well, I do think that if I were on that editorial team, I probably would have been one of those guys saying, "I think we need this to have a broader appeal."
Yeah, exactly. Just,
right. Yeah, no. That said, I would have loved to have read an entire book on collaboration, but but I do understand that. So, that's cool that I don't know, Patrick. That's cool that he was focused in on that, and like he gets it enough to know how important that is. That's
I mean,
cool that you have.
He edits the whole how-to line at Watson Guptill, so he did Brian Bendis's Words for Pictures and a lot of those other titles. So he's very much in that space.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was cool because I think the soup to nuts aspect of the book is also a big selling point. The fact that it really, you know, it starts with we look at things from the very beginning germs of an idea and we carry it all the way through the actual production and then the and everything beyond that, the nuts and bolts of how you actually print the book or get it out into the world, the distribution aspect, and even the self-promotion and career building aspect of the whole thing. But then that theme of collaboration sort of, it's just part of every step of that process. So it felt like, the two different elements came together pretty nicely there. You were asking about how Colleen came on board. I think that was Fred's big idea. Fred had this genius idea of, hey, let's, at the same time we're writing this book, let's do a little creator-owned story of our own.
Let's print random out to paying us.
Yeah. And the fact that Colleen was available and we got her on board was just tremendous because she's, she's an Eisner Award-winning genius cartoonist, and it was a huge amount of fun doing that. And also, you get to see every step of that process.
We had done a couple. I did a couple strips with Colleen just for fun, and I really loved working with her. And she has a quality, like, I sort of thought that this book would maybe skew a little younger and a little more. And so I didn't want it to be totally superhero focused and Marvel and DC focused because, I mean, a lot of folks, when you go to cons and, you're in Artist Alley and you're talking to people trying to become cartoonists, a huge chunk of people, particularly girls, are not, that's not really their space. They want to make comics, but they're not really interested in capes so much. So although we wanted to have some superhero stuff in there, and there is some superhero stuff in there, I wanted the book to have as broad an appeal as possible genre-wise, and I just thought Colleen would really kick ass. And the other thing is Colleen does it all. Colleen's a colorist and a letterer, and I knew if we hired Colleen, she would just do the whole thing.
That's good thinking. That's clearly somebody who likes collaboration. He minimizes his creative team as much as possible. Going back to your theme. So when it comes to collaboration, minimize it. Work with as few people as possible. No. You actually hit on another thing that I liked about the book. Well, two other things that I liked about the book. And one is that that it does get into the sort of self-promotion type aspects and gets into kind of how you conduct yourself online and having the social media and all that sort of stuff. And again, that's another one of those things that a lot of people, you know, it's, and, you know, I talk about this in my classes and stuff too. It's a lot of people are like, oh, it's all about networking. And that's where they stop. And so what I liked about this was you actually got onto what does that mean and what are some appropriate ways to approach that. And I thought that was really, you know, as you were saying, sort of nuts and bolts, you know, really practical advice in that arena as well. So I really like that while the folk, it's a book with a clear focus on collaboration and practicality, which is a lot of these types of books really, you know, are weighted one way or the other. And I thought this did a really nice job kind of going between the two. I also, because I really enjoy seeing people's process. One of my favorite things when I was, you know, editing at Marvel or IDW was just seeing how different people worked. And one of the things that's fascinating to me is how co-writers work, because I've never seen two co-writers work the same way as any other two co-writers.
Sure.
And so it was really interesting in here. I mean, you've got a page in here of one of your scripts where you've included the track changes notes from you both on it, where that's one of those things where I look like I was fascinated by that page. I probably spent 10 minutes on that page alone. But it's also one of those things where I looked at that and I was like, that's so cool. And it's so cool that you guys were willing to sort of, you know, kind of be that open about how these things work. But then I kind of was thinking to myself, like, how useful is that page going to be to anybody other than me? But that said,
it's got a lot of colors on it.
It's got a lot of colors, and I thought it was fascinating, so I'm really glad you included it. But there's another thing that I really liked about the book too, which is just how honest you guys are, how open you are about, you know, this works for us, and there are other ways to do things, and you know, there's a lot of nuts and bolts stuff in here, like you were saying about, you know, as writers, about, you know, how do you write for an artist? I thought, right, you know, a lot of that stuff was really good. Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about with the book? Because I feel like we've covered a lot of, we've touched on it, and hopefully people listening to this will realize that this is a likely a valuable resource. And a valuable resource for artists as well, especially given that there is the focus on collaborations. You two guys clearly are writers, but I think there's a lot of value for artists in the book too, especially when it comes to understanding kind of what writers and colorists and letterers are thinking about, and editors. You've got some nice stuff about working with editors on here. That applies to anybody on the creative team. So I think there's just a lot of value in this book.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I loved also about writing the book is that, I mean, I talk too much, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a person who can talk all the time about what I do ad nauseum. But in working on this book with Fred, I definitely learned a lot from doing this book, you know what I'm saying?
People we talk to and
yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, we did a lot of interviews with colleagues who are doing great and interesting things. In particular, I loved talking to Klaus Janssen about inking. Inking is one of those arcane skills that that a lot of folks don't really understand that well. And you know, and I kind of tasked myself with the job of talking about inking and why it's important and why, you know, and how people who are collaborating with inkers can think about it and understand the process. And in talking to Klaus, I just learned a lot. You know what I mean? Like, he was talking about everything from like the different weights that inkers use and how that creates depth. He was talking about inks creating a third dimension. And that's probably something that, you know, that artists and inkers just think about all the time, but as a writer, that's something I hadn't quite wrapped my head around, and it was amazing. You know, just the, you know, that, so things like that, like learning how you know, like we started off this book thinking, yeah, we know all about collaboration. We can write about that. And then in the writing of it, I realized how much more there was to learn and learned a lot more about it. So hopefully it'll be useful to, you know, I think, you know, as a result, I think the book is actually really helpful to folks on any level, you know, no matter what level in comics you're at. I think there's probably some good information there. I mean, we've been doing it for 10 years each, I think, and we totally were learning stuff while doing it. So hopefully it'll be helpful to everybody.
You do realize that by calling inking an arcane art, you've now made a lifelong enemy out of Klaus Janson. No, I actually, just to sort of riff off that for a second, I got to that point where you talk about talking with Klaus, and you got several good quotes from him in the book, and I almost laughed out loud because that's exactly how I learned about inking.
Oh, you talked to Klaus?
I was an editor, and Klaus was coming into the office, and this was early on when I was editing at Marvel, like 2002, 2003, and I was realizing that, you know, a big part of what the editor does, obviously, is put together creative teams that work well together, and that's personality, artistically, there's a whole lot of elements that go into that. And one of the things that I was having trouble wrapping my brain around was really inking, and specifically, how do you pair the right inker with the right penciler? What pencil style goes with what kind of inking style? And so Klaus came into the office one day, and we started talking about it. And eventually, Klaus and I wound up becoming quite good friends. And you know, he invited me over to his studio, so I sat there while he was inking pages, and we talked about you know, how he was inking. So I got to that point in the book, and I was like, I have heard Klaus say exactly these things. And I know exactly what you're talking about. But you know, Klaus is such a great teacher as well as a great artist that he's the ideal person to talk about that with. I got to that part of the book, and I was like, you guys are smart. You go to
Well, thanks.
Guys, I have a question from a little bit of a different point of view, as somebody who's newer to doing comics, and what it sounds like you've touched on is really the whole 360 of getting into comics and doing comics. For people who are just starting out looking for collaborators, I don't know if you have any overall thoughts on how to approach a writer, how to approach an artist, how to approach letterers, editors, as far as getting started making comics. Obviously, you know, social media is there, obviously conventions, but in general, do you give any advice when you get asked that?
Our buddy Nate Cosby, who put us together on Hercules in the first place and who runs the Gold Key line that Magnus and Turok are a part of over Dynamite, he gets a lot of his artists just from Twitter. He's in a slightly different position, but he sort of announces, I need artists, and he kind of goes to the portfolios and gets them, and he's also offering paying work.
You know, just because I think the collaboration really ends up being a fairly intense relationship if you're doing it on your own and not being thrown together by a company or and money isn't changing hands, I think it's important to know the person face to face, at least a little bit. Again, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience, so I would definitely haunt, you know, the get-togethers of like-minded individuals. You know, there's comics clubs, drink and draws, stuff going on in your own town. I would get out of the house. and only when that fails would I really necessarily resort to going and, you know, finding people online. Partly because, I mean, if you have pre-existing online friendships, I mean, go for it. You know, I don't think there's a problem with that. But, you know, with the internet, there is a lot of opportunities to meet people. And so I would definitely, you know, not ignore that entirely.
Yeah, I came up through film school, and so my experiences, all of my, you know, the my hardcore paying my dues experiences from the ground up happened in film school and immediately after. But I think the experiences are similar enough that I think it's worth mentioning. I found that when I was coming up, the best thing that I could do was to find like-minded people who were coming up at the same level at the same time, you know? So I got involved with, in New York City, I got involved with a Asian American filmmakers group, which was a group of folks who had mostly met at different Asian American film festivals and who were, you know, making short films on weekends and just scrambling to get their stuff done. And we'd get together every week and workshop stuff. And at the same time, I was keeping in touch with my film school friends, and so we'd all help each other out and work on each other's little projects, and coming up that way, I think you know, that's the kind of crew you need to kind of have, that kind of crew to learn from and to do projects with. That was relatively easy for me to find coming out of film school, because when you're in film school, you meet folks like that. But, you know, as Fred says, you know, folks can build those own, their own communities like that, and I also agree, it's meeting people in person and having those face-to-face relationships is key. The other thing that I always recommend for folks is to do something really short. Do something you can actually finish that's really short. In the film world, I just made a ton of little short films, you know, short films that I could make for a couple hundred bucks over a weekend, you know, shoot for a couple hundred bucks over a weekend. And I built my career on those. You know, I made like a dozen of those before I ever made my feature film. And you just learn so much from those. You can go through every single stage in the process with that. You know, the analogy in comics is to do a mini comic or a six or 10 page comic that's part of an anthology, you know, stuff that you can actually finish without going into bankruptcy. You know, like don't make your very, I mean, you know, everybody has a different path. And yes, some people are going to, their very first thing is going to be that 200 page graphic novel. But if you've got it in you to do some short projects first, I highly recommend doing it, just because you'll learn so much.
Yeah, I'll just toss in sort of as a counterpoint to some of that, because if I recall, you were both New York-based when breaking into comics, where there is a fairly lively comic community there. So finding like-minded people is a little easier in that area, or in L.A. There are several sort of Portland, Oregon, if you want to write comics, apparently is like the the Emerald City of comics writers right now. I just mixed that up, right? Emerald City's Seattle. That's the Seattle convention.
You're gonna get letters.
Dude, I was just thinking about the Wizard of Oz. Gosh. But you know, when I was breaking into comics, I was living outside of St. Louis, Missouri, where there was me and my brother, and we liked comics. So you know, as you were saying, Greg, you know, everybody's approach is a little different. You know, my approach wound up being largely long distance based.
Right.
You know, I didn't go to New York until I was ready to actually go into Marvel. I had appointments at Marvel and DC because I had actually sort of nurtured some relationships online over email and that sort of thing. This was back in like from 98 to 2001, basically. And a lot of what I did was I did interviews with people, not for like CBR or anything like that, but for academic papers, stuff that never was, you know, published widely, but that was one, you know, that was one of the things. Then I have these conversations with people. I get to know them a little bit, enough that I decided to plan a trip to New York and asked if I could come to the office and see them. And we scheduled appointments. And so I took a 3 or 4 day trip to New York. I spent a day at DC Comics. I spent a day at Marvel Comics, and I wound up getting interviewed while at Marvel. I hadn't set up an interview with Bill Gemmis, but I wound up being interviewed by him while I was there, and then you know, things sort of tumbled from there. But it is very possible, and it is possible to find, you know, these online communities. And that's, you know, a lot of what I do now is about online communities. But one of the things that I do, because I also agree that the personal interactions are great, but you know, when we're going to New York Comic Con, you know, coming up here or in San Diego, I try to always have a meetup so that people that have gotten to know each other online can actually get to know each other even better, you know, face to face. I think we're likely going to have, you know, a meetup at the Baltimore Comic Con too.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's what the folks who have taken your courses, right?
Taking the courses or more importantly, because I'm still in contact, you know, regular contact with people in the Online Creators Workshop, which is like an ongoing thing where you can workshop your work and talk with other like-minded people. Yeah, we try to get together in person as much as we can, and it helps sort of cement that, you know, that community. But that's exactly what you're talking about. I'm just sort of talking about the flip side of it, is that there are ways to do it online. It is, I think, more difficult though, but it's doable.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's a relationship. You know, I mean, it's how many marriages fail. How hard is it? You know, how many friends do you have to complain about they can't, you know, find a date with somebody they like? You know, it's not easy. You got to keep at it.
Well, guys, thank you very much for coming on the show. If you're interested in making comics, which if you're listening to this podcast, I'm assuming you are, there's this great book I just heard about called Make Comics Like the Pros, which is released today. It's by Greg Pak and Fred Van Lente, of course. It's what we've been talking about the whole show. Please go to your local comic shop, buy it from them, or buy it from wherever it is that you like buying your books. But give this book a read. If you're interested in making comics, there's a ton of valuable information, which I think you don't need me to say because you've listened to this whole thing. Check it out. It's got lots of great material, and we're grateful to both of you for spending your morning with us.
No problem.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Where should people go if they want to keep track of what you're doing?
I'm reachable easily at or you can see what I'm up to at Greg Pak on Twitter, GREGPAK on Twitter, and also gregpak.com. That's my website.
Ditto. You know how to spell my name. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, URL. Probably find my house fairly easily, but don't do that.
And as of this recording, I don't think it's been announced yet, but there might be some Make Comics panels coming up at the New York Comic Con. If you happen to be there, you can go and hear what everybody has to say in person.
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Thanks very much, guys.
No problem.
Thank you. You guys are awesome.